Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today we're continuing in our series called Generous. I just wanted to go straight to the Word of God, actually, if that's okay with you. If you have your Bible, go with me to Jeremiah 18. This passage may be familiar to some of you. For some of you, maybe new. If you have your Bible, Jeremiah 18. If you don't have a Bible, I'll have it on the screen for you to follow with me. For those of you, I see some new faces out there. We want to welcome you here to Every Nation Brisbane. And if you're new here, my name is Nelly. I'm the pastor here. And so we welcome you. I hope you feel at home here. We'll start in the first verse. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down," this is Jeremiah speaking of himself, "so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done?' declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, the house, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it." Father, we thank you that this is your word. It's alive in us. Lord, speak in it and through it to us, Lord God. We pray for an awakening spirit, Lord God, that would enable us to hear all that you have for us today. We love you, God. We thank you for your word that brings us life, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. All right, turn to somebody, just encourage them. I hope you're ready for this. Okay, I'm just going to read the last two verses because there's something in this I wanted you to catch as well. Verse 11 and 12, "Now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you." This is the reason why I waited until after the prayer, so that you'd be encouraged before you hear this part. "Return everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." See, Jeremiah was a prophet. In biblical terms, we call them pre-exilic, which means that he prophesied in Israel before the exile. Now, unfortunately for Jeremiah, I've got to give it up for Jeremiah. Can't wait to meet him in heaven. Big shout out to Jeremiah. Shout out Jerry. Reason why I got a lot of props for Jeremiah is the things that God had him go through in order to be that prophet were amazing. He had to wear certain items of clothing, had them buried in the ground and then pulled out, and they were destroyed. And he's like, "This is going to be you, Israel." And he would wear those things around, and there were odd pieces of clothing. And he was even told at one point in the book of Jeremiah that he would not be married or have any children as a sign to Israel that they would not continue in the generations to pass. How many of you single people want to be that? Like, yes, Jerry, I want the destiny of Jeremiah. Just as a sign to Israel, I will be single for the rest of my life. You know, like, how many of you want that destiny, single people? Absolutely right. None of you want that. But that's Jeremiah and his obedience to God. And what's interesting is if you study the context of Jeremiah, he actually had no converts, because in God's sovereignty, the people of God did not obey God. The people of Israel did not obey God, and they ended up in Assyrian exile and Babylonian exile. They all ended up in exile because they disobeyed the prophecies that came through Jeremiah. Now, you may say, well, what's the point of Jeremiah then? You know, like, why did he even bother prophesying? Can you imagine the discouragement that would come on him? And then not having a wife to turn to and pour his heart out. You know, he's just all by himself. He's renowned as the weeping prophet. Don't blame him. But in his obedience to God, in the fuller picture of Israel, it was to show the love of God that, hey, I am giving you a chance. And so here is one of these prophetic images that we find in the book of Jeremiah, where God uses an image to show the people of Israel the error of their ways. And so he takes him to this potter's house. This is what a typical potter's house would look like. A whole bunch of pots that have been formed on the potter's wheel outside the house, and usually a house that is structured that way. So it's obviously a potter's house. You know that it's a potter's house because it's got lots of pots outside it, right? But the image that Jeremiah is shown from God through the potter is this image of this clay that is on the potter's wheel. And as it's being molded and shaped and stretched into to form a vessel that would contain the destiny that God has for it, for the nation, he stretches out the clay. And in the prophecy, there are parts of the clay that harden itself to the point where it's not moldable, and the potter has to smash those pieces of clay into powder so that they can become moldable again. And so God shows Jeremiah this image in order to prophesy it towards Israel. Now let's come back to us as individuals, as followers of Christ. How many of us are followers of Christ in here? How many of you would say that it is your desire to be moldable and to be shaped in the will of God? God, use me. Lord, have your way in us, we sang earlier just today. But that's a really dangerous prayer to pray, because sometimes when you pray, Lord, have your way in me. Here am I, send me. He's like, oh, really? You want me to put my hands on you? Because if I put my hands on you, there's going to be a stretching that will happen. Because in our own human capacity, we begin to understand that we don't understand at all. What do I mean by this? Our ways are not as high as his ways. So if we think about it in terms of clay, what we think is, with regards to the giftings and the way God's wired us, is God's given us enough clay in our lives to become a teacup. And he says, no, I'm stretching you to become a bathtub in the spirit. That's how much he wants you to carry. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You're a bathtub in the spirit, girl. You're a bathtub in the spirit, man of God. The title of my message today is Stretch Marks. You're not going to forget that title anytime soon. Being generous with the gospel. Let's move on. Some religious people are getting offended by my reference there. The whole point of what I'm going to get at is kind of lined up with this thought here. The effectiveness of your generosity is always proportionate to your resource capacity. The effectiveness of your generosity is always proportionate to your resource capacity. How many of you know that if you don't have anything to be generous with, you won't be seen as generous? But and so you may have, you say, look, I'm generous in my heart. But if you only have 2 cents to give, it's not much to show your generosity. God wants to increase your capacity. He wants to stretch you so that you can be a blessing to carry the message of the gospel to more people than you ever have in your life, in your lifetime before. And so God is increasing our capacity. Now let's go back to the scripture. In verse 3 of Jeremiah 18, it says, so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. So Jeremiah, in obedience, is told by God, arise and go down to the potter's house. So what does he do? He goes down to the potter's house, and he knows it's a potter's house because there he is working at the wheel. My first point is that you need to be in a place where you can see God work. In order to carry a generous spirit, be in a place where you see God work. What are some places? I'll give you a quick one. And just we'll deal with an acronym here, just the ABC of understanding where he works. First one is be in an atmosphere of worship at all times. Like obviously on a Sunday, my heart as your pastor, the pastor of this house, is to create an atmosphere where people worship God, people encounter the presence of God. And we use music as a tool to do that. Music is not the objective. Music is the tool of which we create an environment for people to come in and worship God. The lyrics of songs are the statements that we put in the mouths of the congregants so that they have something to worship God with. It's an atmosphere of worship. But it's still up to a person to come into an atmosphere of worship. Whether they worship or not is up to them. It's their choice. And that's based on the moldability of a person. Apart from an atmosphere of worship, B is being amongst the broken. Ooh, this one hurts a little bit. When's the last time you were around the broken? Not the broke, the broken. Around the people who desperately need the gospel. The Bible talks about it in Matthew, right? You remember where Jesus says, when you visited me in prison, that was me. And when you visited me in hospital, that was me. When I was sick, you know, I had no place to stay, you did it to the least of these, you do also to me. If you want to be where the potter is, walk amongst the broken. Because God's heart beats the loudest amongst the broken. Now, I'm not just talking about the poor and the desolate. There are rich and desolate as well. There are those that don't know Christ. When's the last time you talked to somebody that doesn't know Christ about the gospel? I'm not just talking about hanging out with people that don't know Christ and never open your mouth or open your heart to talk about what God's done in your life. So a way to recognize what the potter is doing is to walk amongst the broken. That's the B. And then C is to admire his creation. We live in Brisbane, y'all. I know I'm slightly biased, but this is the most beautiful state in our country. And yet we take this for granted. I cease to understand it sometimes, you know, like how we can embrace a poverty mindset yet be surrounded by some of the most beautiful creation, apart from the sounds of the birds at 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, in New Zealand where I grew up, man, the birds are tweet, 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 tweet. That's just, so sweet. It's awesome. I mean, yeah, wah, wah, wah. I'm like, oh, gosh. Those aren't birds. Those are alarm clocks. Just nasty sounding birds. And no one in New Zealand used to ride their helmet with like bread tags coming out of it, you know, like these little, you know, I'm trying to figure that out. Apart from that, Queensland is the most beautiful state. Apart from the birds that attack bicycle helmets, Queensland is the most beautiful state in Australia. Can I get an amen, somebody? Right, right? But to be amongst his creation and not worship him. When's the last time you went on top of Mount Kuta or went out to Mount Tambourine or just got into the nature or go down to the coast, you know, like Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast. Just go down to any coast and celebrate God's goodness. When's the last time you worshiped him amidst the beauty of his creation? But it's amazing how we can even be in the midst of his creation and still be like the people of Israel who harden themselves towards the will of God. So if we begin to understand that the way we become generous is to be in the presence of the most generous one. When we see embodied in the cross the picture of what pure generosity looks like. And so God is calling us to be generous. But how many of you know that you cannot be generous in your own volition? You have to be connected to the generous one in order to be generous the way that God wants us to be generous. Amen? And moving along, verse 4, it says, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Now, I want to highlight a few words there. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled. So it was intended to be one thing, but the potter reworked it. He reshaped it. He reconfigured it. See, some of the words and some of the things that have been stated in your life that you are going to be one way. But I sense this prophetically for a lot of people in here that God is reworking your life. If you'll just let his hands do the work. If you'll just submit your life to the work of the potter's hand. Just let him stretch you. Let him rework you. It's hard to rework something that's already decided that it's going to be something. Coming back to my analogy, it's hard for God to shape you into a bathtub if you've already decided, nope, I'm a teacup. God can't reshape a hardened heart. I mean, he can in his sovereignty and in his power and omniscience and omnipotence. He can theologically, but he chooses to give us the option whether to submit the clay of our lives to his molding and to his shaping or to harden and say, I am built to be a teacup. Or maybe at maximum a teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, girl. Here's my spout. Never thought you'd hear that in a sermon anytime soon, did you? So, can you honestly say that you've allowed God to rework you? God is changing mindsets. He's renewing your mind to the way he thinks. I love Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. For he, not you, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. That's according to the power that's already at work within you. God wants to reshape your thinking. So the second aspect of it has obviously been stated. In order to be that vessel that would be stretched to the maximum capacity of generosity, you need to be moldable. It's obvious, right? You need to be supple in the hands of the master potter. Let me give you a question here. When you read something in the Bible that questions the way you are living, do you instantly respond according to the word of God, or do you harden the clay of your heart against it, thinking that you're better and trying to justify the lifestyle choice that you are making? Relationship issues. Well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, but that's like old school. This is the new school. Hello, new school. Look at me. I am new school. No, you are no school. You need to read your Bible. And you need to understand the context of the word, because if you don't let the word live in you, you will not be living in accordance with the master plan that the potter has for your life. And you wonder why you run into trials, and you wonder why when you do run into trials, you have nothing to stand on. Because you are built for so much greater, but because of your small capacity to think great thoughts, you can't think great thoughts, and you can't overcome those thoughts because you've only embraced a teapot mentality. When God has said, you were born for great, great works. You were born for greatness. And I am most glorified when you are most satisfied in my will. Won't you let me stretch you? Won't you let me mold you and shape you? Can you imagine if Steve Jobs, who invented the iPhone with his team, if the iPhone said, no, I don't want to be an iPhone. I want to be a Nokia. Like they're trying to solder little bits and pieces into the, no, I don't want to be excellent. I want to be a Nokia. Okay, I'll be a Samsung. Oh, sorry. Like, you're laughing because it's absolutely silly to think that an invention would cry out to the inventor and say, I'm going to choose the way I'm going to be designed. But that's the way we are often at times. Not moldable. Hardening parts of the clay of our hearts that God wants to reshape and reconfigure so that you can carry the maximum destiny that God has for you. And part of that destiny is being generous towards the preaching of God's gospel. Look, the wrong way to see God build this church, and I don't think he's chosen to build it this way, is if we rely on the teaching gift that I might have, or the worship gift that our team might have, or creating an atmosphere through the worship, and we create this atmosphere that becomes customer-friendly for consumers to come in, sit in pews, and not be activated to minister. The way we want to see this church full is if you go and make disciples. If we all go and make disciples, if we're all activated. Because it's a boring lifestyle if I'm the one preaching and you're not activated to preach the gospel. Because you're born for much more greatness than to be a pew sitter and just to sit there and not to evangelize and not to make disciples. You were born for greatness. And that is what greatness is. But if we have a teapot mentality, not allowing the molding of the Father's hands to shape us, to mold us, to have a greater capacity, to think beyond ourselves, and to be generous with this gospel, we'll miss the whole point. Are you with me today? In verse 7 of Jeremiah 18, it says, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster I intended to do to it. Verse 9, and if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build it and plant it, and if it does not, if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I intended to do it. See, disaster always follows the unteachable. And it's not that God intends for disaster to follow us. In fact, by the grace of God, he puts the cross between us and disaster, but he gives us an opportunity to choose the cross. But if we continue to choose not to worship, or to choose not to allow the cross to stand before us and disaster, between us and disaster, then we remove his grace from the picture, and he gives us that chance. And what ends up happening is disaster is obviously what follows. And that's the result of not being teachable, not being moldable, not being able to be shaped by the master potter. The third aspect of being in the will of God and allowing yourself to be stretched to become the vessel that he's called us to be is don't just endure the process, but enjoy God in the process. Let me say that again. Don't just endure the process. Oh, I can't wait to get through this. Oh, gosh. But enjoy God in it. I was just thinking about this the other day. There's a pastor in the United States of the Village Church in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Matt Chandler. And he was found to have a tumor in his brain. And it was all over the news on MSNBC, you know, major TV station there in the United States, and on cable here as well. When he reported as saying that I will suffer, he said this, I will suffer well to the glory of God, and I thank God for the opportunity to suffer well for his glory. And that statement shook a lot of people. Like, how dare he say that God would do? No, he knew that God would give him the grace to go through it. And even if he was to pass away, he would give his family the grace to carry forward. He would give his church the grace to carry it forward. Obviously, and we praise God that Pastor Matt Chandler is still alive and with us and still doing damage for the kingdom of God. But how many of us would honestly say that in a time of not understanding, maybe it's a trial that we're walking through, we still choose to praise God. We still choose to honor him. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on their way to the fiery furnace, they say to Nebuchadnezzar and his men, we refuse to bow down to the statue of your image. God will have his way, and he will save us. And even if he doesn't, we will still worship him. How many of you would make that sort of statement if you're faced with trials? Some of you are faced with trials right now. And instead of saying, oh God, you're saying, why God? Or is there a God? And there's nothing wrong with crying out to God. Don't get me wrong. But you've got to understand that God, in his sovereignty, like he did with Jeremiah, the author of the scripture, he knows the master plan. And our lives as Christians are not about this life now. This life has absolutely nothing to offer us with regards to eternal consequence other than the preaching of God's gospel. That's really the extent of it all. And so if you're alive and you're a worshiper of Christ, you live to carry the gospel. You live to preach the gospel. Last week I was in Singapore and I was visiting this one mall. I was trying to find a certain item of clothing that can only be found in Singapore, and I couldn't find it. And as I was walking back to catch a cab to the dinner that I was about to have, I walked past this place, and it was called Dr. Stretch. I don't know if any of you have heard about Dr. Stretch. It's this place that's really famous in Japan, and they just opened one. It was the first one in Singapore. For my Singaporeans, it was in Suntec City on the second floor. So I was walking past it. I was just getting ready to go. I had about an hour to kill, and then I saw a Dr. Stretch. And, you know, of course, whenever I see free trial, I'm like, oh, I am feeling a little bit tight, you know, so I'm going to walk into Dr. Stretch, you know. So they took one look at me and got the biggest guy they could find to come out and be my Dr. Stretch. And they had a free trial for Dr. Stretch. And so the trial was for 20 minutes, right? And so I was like, okay, let's do this. And it was awesome. I mean, I didn't realize that muscles were tired until he stretched them. Like, he started stretching me in ways that I'd never been stretched before. I felt like a donut, you know, just legs going near ears and stuff like that. But the thing is, because he only had 20 minutes, and this is such a tactic that Dr. Stretch does, you know, props to Dr. Stretch, you did your job. But like 20 minutes, they only stretched one side of me. And in order to get the other side stretched, I had to pay $100 and somewhat and stick around a lot longer. And I was like, look, I got a dinner to go to. So I am walking to the dinner, kind of like floppy on one side and still sore and tight on the other. And my friends were wondering, what's wrong with you? Gumby or something, you know, like walking with one side like jelly and the other side like brick. You see, because the reason why I bring this up is because I hadn't finished the process of the stretch. If I had finished the process of the whole stretch, I would have been in a position to be fully be able to be launched in the way I should walk without, I mean, because, you know, when you stretch, it's sore. How many of you have been stretched after a good workout and then you get somebody to, like, pull your leg up, you know, like, and you're like, oh, good, you know. But you know that it's good for you. And I'm here to tell you that the stretching you may be experiencing is good for you, because the stories that God is putting in this test will become a testimony. The story that God is forming in your mess will become a message that He will use for His glory. And many of us are, and in fact, I see so many of us, knowing your story, knowing what God has you going through, He is forming vessels that will carry the message of His gospel out. If you will allow God to increase your capacity to be able to be stretched to carry it even further and in a much greater effectiveness than you currently have, embrace the process. Don't come across this misconception that so many people have. Don't let this misconception enter into your heart, where people say it's only at this point that I am alive for, that's only at this particular point in my history, then I will know what I'm alive for. Being a Christian is not necessarily about a destination as much as it is about the journey and journeying with the one who gave you the journey in the first place. The great thing about journeying with the journeyman is, like he said at the cross, it is finished. He knows how to get you through it. If you'll just let the master potter have his way in you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.